You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
All right, good evening once again, everyone, and welcome to Victory. Today, we are ending our current series called On a Journey, and this is basically our discipleship series. Over the past few weeks, we've talked about discipleship. We're in the third installment of our On a Journey series. This talks about discipleship. And again, if you're new here, or even if you've been attending for the longest time and you wondered, nga naman, sige, we're talking about discipleship. Why is it that we put a premium on the word discipleship? Why is it a big deal for us here in the church? Basically, over the past few weeks, we've talked about that. One description of discipleship here is that discipleship is following Jesus and going on a journey with Him and other people. It's all about relationships. Discipleship, or going through discipleship, is like going on a journey. In the first week, we talked about being one. Our discipleship journey starts with us being a disciple ourselves. It's about following Jesus, getting to know who Jesus is, going on this journey to know more about Him. On the second week, we talked about making one naman. That part of the package of following Jesus is fishing for the lost, fishing for people, raising disciples as well, discipling people that they would follow Jesus, because that's how we were able to follow Jesus as well. Someone discipled us. It's part of the package to make one. On the third week naman, tonight, we'll talk about walk with one or walking with one. Basically, we'll talk about fellowship here today because Christianity is not meant to be walked alone. When we talk about discipleship, isn't like some marathon, paspasay, pakusganay. When you were a disciple, it's not like, here's the Bible, here's a one-to-one booklet, follow Jesus, fish for the lost, hey, and go on, figure it out yourself. It's not like that. Glisya, kanya-kanya lang, ha? If you want to know more about God, go figure it out. You're on your own. It's not that. This journey is not just between you and God. This journey is between you and God and other people as well. Much like this picture right here of a family going on a journey. The same thing with us. In our walk with God, we are walking with God and with other people as well. Maybe your disciples, your Victory group leaders, your fellow members in your service ministries, or your seatmates now, mga kuyog ninyo sa church. Those people, they are walking with you in your walk with God, in your faith. Basically, it's all about community. As a believer, as a follower, or as a disciple of Christ, we need to understand that He called us to follow Him and to be part of a community, specifically the church. The word church comes from the word ecclesia, which means a gathering of people. People, the church is about people. The church is not the building. The church is not just the service. It is this gathering of people. John 1 verse 12 here even says, "But to all who did receive Him, Jesus, who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." This isn't our main verse, by the way, but I want to share this to highlight the importance of being part of this community, of this spiritual family, if you will, that God has called us to be a part of. It says here that if you are a disciple of Christ, if you received Christ, that you've been given the right to become children of God. Meaning, not only siblings in the spiritual sense, because we are all children of God, meaning we are part of this great, big spiritual family, and that is the church. Hebrews 10:25 even says, "Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Meaning we are to gather together. Have you ever wondered, ano man sige tayo kailangan mo to church once a week? Ano kailangan tayo mo to church? Kaya dili po di ang church, once mwanto ka, humana na for the rest of your life, di na ka mwanto church. We need to keep on gathering daily. There's an importance to that because again, we are part of a community, of spiritual family. Okay, this isn't just some event. Now the question we have here with us is how should we walk with fellow believers? If the premise is, all right, we need to be part of the spiritual family, we need to walk with fellow believers, but how do we do so? How do we fellowship with fellow believers? And what happens when we do so? For that, can you turn your Bibles to John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35. So this will be our main verse for tonight. And it says there, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight, Lord God, for your word, for reminding us, Lord God, what it means to be a disciple, Lord God, what it means to fellowship and to walk with fellow believers, Lord God. Lord, speak to our hearts and minds tonight, Lord God. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may take your seats, church. So these two main verses that we just read a while ago will be our main passage for tonight. I'm going to go right through it at John 13, verse 34. Now it says here, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." I want to emphasize on that one word right there, love. Okay, as we talk about walking with fellow believers, so it starts with this. Jesus says, "I'm going to give you a new command." And this new command involves loving, okay, loving other people. Let's qualify muna, what does he mean by the word love? Because the word love, in the English language, pretty much broad ang use niya. For example, you use love to describe something you love to eat. But at the same time, you use love in relation to your family. I'm pretty sure none of us here would equate your love for lechon or love for rice as the same as your love for your mother. Diba? Magulang mama ana. But still, we use that same word love. Now, in the Greek language, which is what the New Testament was written, there are different words for love. There's the kind of love for romantic relationships. There's a kind of love for family, filial kind of love. Love for brotherly kind of love. And so we need to look at sa mga love pasabot ani giyon ni Jesus. When he says love one another. The word love here comes from the root word agape, which means goodwill, benevolence, and willful delight in the object of love. Basically, it's like a kind of love that ang whole point niya is the well-being, the welfare of a person. And the interesting thing about agape, which sets it apart from the other forms of love, is that agape is almost always used to describe the love that is of and from God. When you talk about God's love, every time you read in the Bible, it talks about the love of God, God's love. Ang love ang gigamit ana, agape ang gigamit ana in the New Testament. In the Old Testament naman, a different word but still means the same as agape. So this word that Jesus is talking about is basically talking about a kind of love na dili romantic love. It doesn't mean nga, when Jesus says love one another, manguyab kag other person lang. Dili ka napasampo ni Jesus here. It's a more benevolent, higher form of love, which is, again, a kind of love that is described as the same love that God would give to His people. One way to look at this love or to learn more about this love is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but the love mentioned here, pati naman ka may na-stretch, but it's not exactly referring to romantic kind of love. But the love here is still about agape, the kind of love that comes from God, that is demonstrated by God. And it says here, love here is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable, resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. It's able to endure. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As knowledge, it will pass away. Now, whole point and in verses, it talks about this kind of love. That's how many of you would agree that on your own you can't do this kind of love. Parang bugat ninga gugma. Dili siya basta-basta nga love lang. Love is patient. Love is kind. How many of you would agree that sometimes we can be impatient to other people? That sometimes we're not always kind. This is a kind of love that on our own we won't be able to produce. Try as much as we want. That is the agape kind of love. And guess what? Jesus says we are to demonstrate, to do this love. And to whom? Kasi man matubwato ng love. Says here that you should love one another. Love one another. Now that's important because the agape kind of love can be demonstrated to other people. But in this specific context, Jesus was talking to a certain group of people. And he told them that you're to love one another. Do agape to one another. And who was his audience at this time? It was none other than his core disciples. The apostles, the Peter, James, John, Matthew, those core people who were following him, meaning he was pertaining to the church here as well, to the believers. He was telling them to show love to one another, to show agape love to one another. Now that may seem like, okay, yeah, all right, we can do that. But how many of you would agree that sometimes when we talk about loving people, parang no-brainer to show love to the lost. Parang no-brainer to show love to people who don't know about Jesus, have never heard of Jesus, to those who are not in the church. We know those things. We talked about that last week in Making One. Now, we are to preach the gospel out there to people. We are to show compassion to those who are lost, to those who are in need of Jesus. So sometimes, diba, all out kita sa pag-pursue, kumbaga, sa mga ginawa, one-to-one nato, the people want to invite them to the church. Diba? How many of you here today, you've experienced doing something for someone so that they could hear the gospel? Anyone here? Diba, nag-libre na ka. Anyone here, you tried that? Pwede ko pagkaong lami, Aturag Church, or Aturag Victory Group, Texan Junimo, balag na sin zone ka. Oh bro, kumusta na? Oy bro, kumusta gyamon? Okay lang. Dili ka pa offend. But you go the extra mile in loving people who are lost. But there is a question for all of us. What about those people who are part of the church? What about the fellow believers? Yung mga kauban karon, yung seatmates, your fellow church members, your Victory Group members, the people you're serving with, the people you meet every Sunday here or in the different services. Do you show love to them as well? 1 John chapter 4:11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Because God has loved us, and we are recipients of that love." The Bible says we are to love one another. We are to love fellow believers. Meaning to say, as part of the package, ang mag-make disciples as we follow Jesus, when you receive the love of God, that love of God should overflow in your life, not just the lost. That's good as well. You love the people who need Jesus. But you should also show love to the people who already have Jesus, to your fellow believers. We are to show love to these people. Well, this line or phrase when Jesus said, love your neighbor or love one another, is pretty much a reference to some of the things mentioned in the Old Testament. Like in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, when God gave commands to Israel, one of them was this: "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." God had told his people to love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor now, because this was a time when the Israelites were traveling in the wilderness. Well, that's like permanent address. They would travel from place to place in the wilderness. And whenever they would travel, there would be people with them. Kung magstay sila for the night, that's like mga neighbors na po. So they had to show love to the people around them. That's in Leviticus 19, verse 18. It's a reference to that. But what makes this statement a new commandment, it is what comes after when he says, love your neighbor or love one another. Going back to our main verses here, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. If you remember, in Leviticus 19, it says here, love your neighbor as yourself. Love him as you would love yourself. Love him as how you want to be loved. But here in verse 34 of John 13, Jesus takes it up to an even higher level. He says, love one another. Love your fellow believers. Love the people in the church. Show and demonstrate agape love to them. As I have loved you. He's basically telling the disciples, you are to love fellow believers as I have loved you. I mean, the standard, the measuring stick is Jesus. How he loves. Not how we want to be loved or how we want to show love to other people. That's the reason why this is a new command. That we are to love the same way Jesus loved. So the question is, how did Jesus love nga ba? That there's something special and there's something of importance to it. Now, just to give a little bit of more context to what we're reading in John chapter 13, some verses prior to this new commandment, Jesus was basically huddled together, having his last supper with his apostles, with his core disciples. Remember that the Last Supper is his last meal before he would be taken away and be crucified. It's his last meal before Judas would leave and betray him. So during his Last Supper, he was with his apostles. And while they were eating, at one point, Jesus got up and started doing something. He started washing the feet of his disciples. So the Peter, the James, and the John, he started washing their feet. In John 13 verse 14 says here, "If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Munang one thing ibuhat ni Jesus. While they were eating, he got up, took off his outer clothes, ang coat niya, ang jacket niya kumbaga, and wrapped it around himself, took a towel, some bowls of water, and started washing the disciples' feet. There's something of importance in this action that Jesus did. We're gonna unpack the weight and significance of what he's doing. Ano man, all of a sudden, his last meal with his apostles, he could have done so many things of importance kasi kwao na siya at any moment. And what he did was that he took time to wash their feet. Now let's look into that. Now when we talk about washing feet, you have to take note that this was in their time, their culture. They didn't have shoes. They had sandals, slippers, some of them barefoot lang. And these were men and they would walk in roads nga wala naka stone or wala naka asphalt, dili paved. So, guba-guba ang road. So, somehow, muragin na yung mga tiil nila at some point. So, hugaw ang tiil nila. Imagine the dirtiest feet you can think of. And yet, amidst that, again, in John 13, verse 4 to 5, rose from supper, this Jesus, laid aside his outer garments, taking a towel, tied it around his waist, then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, wiped them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Imagine this with me. The God of the universe, the God who created everything, who came to this world as Jesus. God in the flesh. Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who has all the right people should serve Him, bow down to Him in His authority, stooped down, wrapped a towel around Him, took bowls of water and started washing people's feet. amidst the dirtiness, the stink, the ugliness, He's willing to wash that. Use the towel, use the water, gilimp yun niya. What this means for us, church, as we talk about agape love, is that the same way na despite sa kuhugaw or kalood sa mga tail, giwash diya po ni Jesus ang feet, same way with us, to love someone, to show agape love to someone is to love them despite their flaws, their mistakes, their shortcomings, their bad behavior, or their stinky attitude. Kung katong loss pa lang ang tao, then bali nimo lahat para ma-one-to-one nimo. You risk rejection, ridicule, mockery, and you did everything. Manglibre ka, you put everything, best foot forward nimo, to win that person to Jesus. But then when the person is there with you, in fellowship, in the church, do you still show that same level of love, agape love to that person? Or ikaw po, when you were being discipled, when you heard the gospel, you were discipled, you went through Victory Group, Victory Weekend, now you're part of the church. Are you also showing love to the people who discipled you, who invested their lives on you? Are we doing this? Are we willing to show agape love to people despite their mistakes, flaws, and shortcomings in life? Because oftentimes we get so irritable. Oftentimes we get so judgmental or easily offended when it comes to fellow believers. Kung lost, okay na, he needs Jesus. Okay na, maka-understand na ako. Wala siya ni reply na ako. Pero kung ka-church na gani, ano wakang reply? Wakang invite na yung fellowship? Dali kita mangluod sa hay. I mean, look at Jesus. He was willing to do all of these things, wash the feet of his disciples, his core apostles, parang was a basketball ba na, his first five, they weren't like the best of the best on their own lang. They were not the smartest, the most brilliant, the richest. They weren't even the kindest people around. Look at Peter palang daan. Peter, if you read through the Bible, you know that he has so many mistakes and flaws. Medyo may impulsive si Peter. Ingon-ingon siya nga, Lord, tawag ako and I will walk on water. Itawag siyang Jesus. Paglakaw niya, nahadlok siya. Okay. He fell to the water. And I said, Lord, you save me. When Jesus was about to be captured and led to the cross, di siya kailangan makapture si Jesus. He couldn't understand. He started attacking the soldiers. And Jesus had to stop him. And when Jesus told that he would die and be crucified, he rebuked Jesus. Can you imagine that? He rebuked Jesus, okay? I mean, Jesus, tayop ka, Lord. That's Peter. In this part right here, when Jesus was being led to his crucifixion again, when he was prosecuted, basically, to the Jewish authorities, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And when you put all these things together, his mistakes, his failures, and take note, core followers on Jesus, ani. It's not like someone nga bago ra nakabulong ni Jesus, nag-follows on Jesus for 3 years na. And yet, he has all these mistakes, and you would think for time, Peter would make a mistake, siguro si Jesus muna yung ma-feel niya, parang face palm, parang ano mga. Perhaps for some of you here today, you felt that to your fellow believers, to your Victory Group members, sa mga gina-one-to-one ninyo, sa mga kakuyog ninyo sa observe sa ministries, or kakuyog ninyo church karon, perhaps nag-face palm ka, parang ano, giposto niya, ano kanya yung attitude niya. Sometimes we're so quick to take away love to others, just to show the pretty much the ultimate example of Jesus' agape love for us, of loving even the seemingly unlovable. In Romans 5 verse 8 says here, but God shows His love for us in this, that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Same thing with washing the dirty, stinky feet. Jesus was willing to die on the cross for our sins, was willing to die the unlovable, undeserving, ungrateful, sinful people in the world. And that includes you and me. When you think about dying, doing something for someone we love, something we like, it's usually for their good deeds or good attitudes nila or something positive about them. Like when the martyrs of our country died for this nation, but they love the nation, they love the country, the Philippines, the people, whatever is good in the nation. But Jesus here, He died while we were still sinners. While we were undeserving, unlovable. Imagine yung pinakahugaw ng tail. No, that's us. But Christ died for us right here. Again, we should love fellow believers as Jesus loved us. Because we are recipients of basically the ultimate example of agape love. Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. If you're here today and you're a believer, you're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus, you're a recipient of that love. That love should overflow in your life. It should basically touch the lives of other believers. Yes, the lost as well, but also other believers. Now what happens when we show love to fellow believers? What's the result, Aninia? Verse 35 says here, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." It says here, all people will know. Not just a few people, some people, or a specific group of people, but all people will know that you are my disciples. In the NLT version, it says here, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. In other words, church, one way that people will affirm that you are indeed a follower of Jesus, whether that be your classmate, your workmate, your family members, your neighbors, is how you show love to one another, to your fellow believers. How you show love to your fellow believers. It's the same way with the family. How do you know that a guy is a family man? How do you know that a mother is really a good mom? It's how they show love to their families. 1 John chapter 4, 8 says, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." In other words, if you're here today and medyo hesitant ka, mo show love to other people, or maybe you're not as loving to assess yourself. Perhaps you're not as loving to other people. You're not as sympathetic or empathetic, or parang wala kay care sa other believers. Parang it's just me and you, Lord. Guess what? There's something significantly wrong there, because anyone who does not love does not know God. If we claim to be following Jesus, and this is what Jesus exemplified, this is what he did, we should be able to love other people. As this verse says, if we do not love, then we do not truly know God. We are deceiving ourselves. How we love our fellow believers shows the lost, the non-believers, what kind of God we follow. How we love our churchmates, our fellow believers, it will affirm and it will tell people, oh nga no, Kristiyano din tawanan eh. Makita na ako sa life nila, how they show love to one another. You see, you might not know it, but the people around you, especially the lost people around you, those who are not believers, they look at your life. They might not say it outright. They might not say, bro, galang ako sa kinabuhi ni mo. But they are looking at their life. They're looking at your posts on social media, how you handle your friends, your family. Of course, with your fellow believers as well, they're looking at your life. And how you handle your relationships would tell of the kind of God that you follow. So if puro bitterness, offense, ang ma-feel mo karon sa imong mga fellow believers, what does it tell other people? That you're following a God of bitterness. You're following a God of hatred. But if we claim to follow a God who's basically love, then that should overflow from our hearts and to our lives as well. Let me just give a quick story or testimony of my own personal experience when it comes to church. I got connected to the church when I was a third-year college student. I was a student at the time. And the reason for that was because one of classmates before, we were in this gathering sa Siliman, kind of mga Galilean Fellowship. One of classmates was sharing her experience basically of church. And my idea of church back then was, it's a service. It's the thing you do every Sunday. You wake up, you go with your family, you listen to the Word of God, and you just go home. It's an activity, ang church, or a program. It's a checklist to do on a Sunday. That was my idea of church. But the way she described church, this was this community of believers, and they would do life together. And when she said that, when she described that, my reaction was, "Pwede din na ng church day." Ganong maglahi ang experience niya. And I was interested about that, parang ano man ang group of people. And that led me to pretty much accept an invitation one day to try going to this church here in Victory. And just to see how they would do life together, how they treated one another and fellow believers. I remember way back, we don't usually use this term kayo nowadays, but back then when the church was much smaller, the way we call the church community back then was, we'd call it as one family. For those of you who are a part of the church several years ago, you'd know this term, about one family. Kamay pa man ang church that time. We treat each other as one big spiritual family, whether you're a student, a single professional, you're married, parang one big family. And in the church, our relationships, it didn't just end with that 1.5-hour service. Okay, parang pag sunod ni mo, nakimamit, pamara po, gano. We would do life together. After the church, oftentimes you'd find us here eating together. That's one example back then, years ago. Mapuno na ka naman kalanan na mo, o long table dinners. We would do life together, eating together. That's the most common thing, eating together. Umay mabot ni mas dumagete kayo. We would eat together. In fact, some of our church people right now are having dinner na. Nag-eat na sila together. Naguna na sila. Because some of our older church members came back, nag-visit sila. So nag-fellowship sila karon, nag-eat together. And not just that, we don't just eat together. We do life together. Just a while ago, after the 5 p.m. service, we saw a Victory group. Nag-celebrate sila birthday. One of their members is nag-birthday today. So nag-celebrate sila. Nag-surprise sila. We know people who exercise together. Okay? I know some dad yan. Their bonding at sa ilang fellowship is mag-bike slat together, matusag bukid. Some, they would go to the gym together, jog together, play games together, mag-share their lives over coffee together. Basically, we talk about fellowshipping with fellow believers. It goes beyond the walls in a church building. When you say you're being part of a church, when you say fellowshipping with fellow believers, when we talk about showing agape love to other people, it goes beyond the halls or the walls of a church. Because kung church service lang, limited mga sa time. It goes beyond that. You see, church is not some activity that you do. Church is the people that you are a part of. And you are part of the church. And church doesn't just happen on a Sunday. Church exists every day. From Sunday to the next Sunday, whether it be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there is a church that's happening. Whenever there are a group of believers together, whether it be as simple as eating a meal together, studying together, praying together, encouraging one another, the church is there. Kaya the church happens daily. Yes, ang church service on Sundays, but the church people, being part of a church, happens throughout your life or as long as you're a Christian. The question here for us is, how can we apply this, this agape love? We talked about that Jesus commanded his disciples to love one another, to show this agape love to other fellow believers. Now, how do we practically apply that? Okay, you might ask, all right, Tom, I want to apply this love that describes the kind of love God gives or is from God. How can I possibly do that? Some simple practical points before we end. Firstly, assess your heart. You're the best person to know who you are, okay? If you're here today and feeling nimo, parang di ko loving kayo sa mga ka-fellow members sa church. If you're here today and perhaps you feel like you don't care as much, you're not as empathetic or sympathetic as much to the concerns, to the issues, the struggles, the challenges, or the lives of your fellow churchmates, then perhaps you need to ask help from God. Lord, help me have compassion. Help me have love towards my fellow believers. One way to assess that is, again, in 1 Corinthians, love is patient and kind. It says here, do you show patience and kindness to your fellow believers? Or do gilang mag-reply mo ka churchmate, wala, evil in tawanan ni. Love does not envy or boast. Kung mag-birthday, naigi-honor. The highlight is on the person, you're blessing the person. Do you envy ba nga? Dapat ako, i-honor po ko nila. Does it boast? It is not arrogant. It's not rude. It doesn't exist on its own way. Not irritable, not resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. This talks about agape love. So assess your heart. Are you able to somewhat do that or follow that kind of love to your fellow believers? If not, then we need to go back to God. Lord, fill me. Why? Because the second thing that we can do is abide. If you've been attending for the past 2 weeks in this series, then you've encountered this word, abide. We've talked about this for the past 2 weeks as well. Abide, which means to remain, to cling, to hold on to Jesus, to read, follow, and obey His word. And if you remember last week, we talked about making disciples. We said that in John 15 verse 5, that Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, this fruit, yes, one aspect is being fruitful in making disciples. But another aspect of this fruit, which is a result from abiding in Christ, being connected to Jesus, having that relationship with Jesus, is this fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5 verse 22, it says here, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. That same love there is agape. Kaya nga, we cannot just produce this kind of love on our own. Why? We need to go back to the source, ang God. And if we want to be able to show love to other people, we need to make sure we are abiding in Christ. It's like in cell phone, if you wanted a full charge ng cell phone, yung kailangan i-plug ninyo sa socket. The same thing with us, we need to go straight to the source. If you're here today and you feel like dili ka loving a person, dili ka merciful, dili ka gracious, dili ka caring a person, go to Jesus. Abide in Him. Follow Him. Jesus is the most compassionate, loving person there is or was because He was willing to die on the cross for our sins. Willing to do so much for us. So, balikan God. Ask ni God, Lord, as I am a recipient of your grace, of your love, Lord, I want to be able to love other people. Ask ang God, Lord, I want to be able to show love to my fellow believers. Lord, medyo di man ko loving, Lord. Medyo kebs ra ko, wala kay pakikisa sa mga lives nila. Lord, may I have compassion for them. Kung makita ko sa mga church miss na ako, mag-think po ko, Lord, how can I be a blessing to these people? Ask God for that kind of love. You cannot produce it on your own. You see, the tendency sometimes is when we want to change something in our lives, diba? Our tendency is, I need to improve, work harder, or in this case, I need to love more. The focus is in our own selves. But again, we can't produce this on our own. It's like you spend time with certain people, then mo rub off mo ang ilang influence. When you spend time so much with certain people, matingala ka, parang you've taken their habits, their likes, their preferences. Kabatay mo na, na na-influence ka. Diba they say you're the average of the five people you spend time the most? Remember lang, my wife Haya na, si Haya di ka siya ganan o skin sa lechon before. And ako naman, di ko ganang isaw. But throughout the years in our marriage, of being spending time together, eating together, over time, okay, nag-influence I mean. Magtalay sa lechon, may una siya nga, han, kuwag skin dito para na to. Ako naman, magpa-order na akong isaw. Simple example right there. When you spend time with people, it will rub off on you. Their influence. Matingala na lang ka. Now, how much more can Jesus? When you read His Word, when you worship, you spend time with Him, and you get to know what kind of person He is, it will fill you up. His love will fill you up and it will overflow. If you're here today and you feel like you're the most unloving person in the world, go to Jesus. He will change your heart, make your heart tender. The last thing I want to talk about is action. Talk about assessing ourselves, abiding in Christ, and of course, action. There has to be practical application. Because when you talk about loving someone, di ba? Have you ever heard someone say, I love you, pero wala na may gibuhat? Pangit, di ba? It's not love at all. If you genuinely want to show love to someone, the people around us, it has to be backed up by our deeds. There has to be practical, there has to be a practical expression of that agape love. So there's so many things we can do. Firstly, it's generosity. We talk about practical application. Generosity. Why generosity? In Acts 4, verse 34 to 35, says here, there were no needy ones among them because those who owned lands or houses would sell their property, bring their proceeds from the sales, and they laid them at the apostles' feet for distribution to anyone as he had need. The point here is this radical generosity. That the early church, they were so radical in their giving, in their sharing their wealth with other people. In other words, what's one thing you can bless to another person in the church? Again, generosity doesn't have to be extravagant. You don't have to wait until millionaryo na ka. Even with the little that you have, what can you do to become a blessing to someone? Maybe buying them as simple as dinner, meal, coffee, giving them an item that you know that they need, something that you've been praying for. Simple acts of generosity. Another thing is reconciliation. Why? Ephesians 4 verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You are recipients of the ultimate act of forgiveness. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. So if you're here today and perhaps there are people in the church that you don't want to look at, you can mutagad nila, you're giving the cold shoulder, perhaps na may cold war or something. Whether you've hurt someone or you've been hurt by someone in the church, nagkaaway mo, nagka-conflict mo, guess what? Forgive. Or ask forgiveness. Because if kaini Jesus more forgive nato, how much more us, can we not forgive others as well? Again, to show love to other people is a proof that we are indeed disciples of Jesus. If we're unwilling to forgive, then we are not disciples of Jesus. Forgive, reconcile. The Bible says we are ministers of reconciliation because as we preach the gospel, we reconcile people to God. And so if willing ta ang person ma-reconcile sa kang God, can we not be willing to be reconciled with fellow believers as well? I don't know the gravity of your issues, your conflict, ang away ninyo, but the Bible simply says it's not good in any way to live in unforgiveness or bitterness. Lastly, acts of unity. Do you fight for the unity of the church, of the people inside the church? Philippians chapter 2 verse 3 and 4 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves, or in some translations, better than yourselves. Let each of you look at not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Don't just look at your own cares. Do I understand we all have needs? But far from it, church, that we get so consumed with our own needs that we forget to look at the cares, the needs of others. We forget to help others. It says here, do nothing out of self-ambition and conceit. What are you doing that is progressing or that is helping the unity in this church? Are your actions a blessing to other people? Or is it causing division? Is it building up and strengthening relationships in the church? Or are your actions causing relationships to be deteriorated, to fall apart, to break, or to be stretched, or to be stressed? Your posts in social media, your conversations with people, your actions, is it advancing the unity of the church, the relationships within the church? You yourselves can answer that best. As I end, I'm going to end with this point once again. Discipleship is about following Jesus and going on a journey with Him. And other people, it's all about relationships. Going on a discipleship is all about relationships. Our relationship with God and other people. And we can't have one or the other. It's both. You can't have good relationship with God, pero pangit yung relationship with fellow believers. The same way you can't have good relationship with fellow believers, pero pangit yung relationship with God. It's both. It's together. That's discipleship right there. We follow Jesus, fish for people, and fellowship with fellow believers. And we go through all of that in a lifelong journey called, again, discipleship.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.